We're going to be in John chapter 19, so stand and turn there if you would with me, John 19. Our text is verse 23 and verse 24. John 19. All right, let's read our text. The Bible says in verse 23, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did.'" This morning, I was looking at this particular passage, last week actually, and just seeking the Lord about what we were going to do today. The nature of preaching exposition is I'm not the one who decides the messages or the topics, is we're just going through the Gospel of John. And I don't want to leave anything out, you know. And so I got to these verses and I thought, well, you know, Lord, what do you have for us today out of this? And sometimes it'll jump out to me early in my studies. And I'll see, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing here, and I'm excited about writing this message, and because he starts working in my heart. But I'll be honest with you, I had to get through the process quite a bit with these just to see what it was that the Lord had for us. And I'm excited to tell you that I think God this morning has a message that will strike to the soul, the heart of some that are here. And it'll really cut through, like Paul said in Hebrews, piercing to the dividing asunder, and get to the joints and marrow, cutting right down to the quick of where our need is. And I think today that you'll find that there's been some things that have been in our life that has shown this one thing, and then we'll get started here, is that our hearts are harder than I think some of us realize. And what we need God to do is to break our heart. We need him to break our heart. And until he breaks our heart, we're not going to be usable for him. And so it's my hope this morning that God will break some hearts today. And my hope is that he'll break my heart too. So let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. Help us to have a broken, contrite heart, humbled by your Spirit's touch. And we need it. We need you. God, we confess our need. We confess it. But I think some of us aren't ready to confess. We need you to open our eyes. We need to be touched in that way. So I pray your blessings on the message. Help our eyes to be opened in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. As I said just a minute ago, our hearts are, I think, sometimes harder than we realize. And because of that, it's hard for some to turn their hearts to God because the hardness of our heart is so hard, it hinders us from taking that step. We prayed earlier for those that need to be saved or those that need to be touched by God and then get right up here to get it right. You know what keeps us from doing that when we've been touched? Hardness. Hardness. It's actually simple and complicated all at once. It's sort of a paradox. I'm talking about the gospel. It's so easy and simple, but complicated and hard. Well, how can it be simple and hard all at the same time? Because salvation is as simple as this. Like Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Salvation is as simple as asking, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But do you know why it's hard? because it's not just words. Anybody can ask. Some of you, I think possibly, you ask every night. But down in your heart, you know that's not salvation. Salvation is not just words. It's never been words, and it never will be just words. And our struggle with being saved, our struggle with repentance, our struggle with turning to God, it's not related to how complicated or how difficult it is to understand. It's rarely that. However, I would say that there are times when a message isn't developed very well, and it can be hard to get the message from the pastor, and that can happen sometimes. But I would venture to say that the problem that we're having today in this place, in this context, that there's a struggle going on in yours and my heart. It's not because we don't get it. It's not because we don't understand. And often it's not because God isn't trying to touch you or break through or speak to you or guide you or direct you or draw you. It's not that God's not speaking. It's that our heart is too hard. I said this for years. It's one of my favorite passages just to reflect because the analogy, the metaphor is incredible. Jesus, or rather God, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, calls the Word like a hammer. The Word of God is like a hammer. The analogy is that when you hear the Word of God, it will strike you. It will hit you. The Word of God hits you, and it does hit us, doesn't it? And many of you have said, you've declared, wow, Pastor, how is it that you knew? I didn't know, but God knows, and His Word is a hammer, and He's trying to break your heart. And you know what your heart is? In the analogy, it's a rock. It's a stone. And the hardness of the heart is being stricken by the hammer of the Word of God. God wants to break through, doesn't He? But it's hard for some of us because your heart's so hard. Your heart's too hard. You need to soften your heart. You need to humble yourself. You know, I would venture to say there's one of two ways you can deal with preaching. Because you can either, eventually, you stay under the preaching, eventually you're going to break. Or you got to get out of here. There's only one of two ways you can handle this. When you're in the preaching, God's going to break through eventually. Or you're going to say, I can't handle this anymore. I don't want to be involved with this anymore. I'm out of here. We need this. We need God to work in us. We need God to break us. We need Him to change us to become more like Him. And some of us this morning need to be saved. And God wants to break through to you. But the hardness of our heart hinders that. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to deal the death blow to sin and to Satan and to death, to offer salvation and eternal life. I'm so thankful for the cross. Listen, the imagery of the message this morning is that as Jesus is going to the cross, the soldiers are, you know, who are involved with the process of nailing Him to the cross and setting this thing up. There's four soldiers that are involved with this, that they would take His garments, they would take His clothes, and they would divide it up amongst each other. Take His things. And so the imagery there is the hardness of the Roman soldiers. And we can relate to that. You know, I think some of us would say, well, Pastor, you know, I didn't nail Jesus to the cross. But why did He go to the cross? To pay for yours and my sins. And so in a way, we did nail Him to the cross. Our sins nailed Him to the cross. And the hardness of the soldiers who stripped away His clothes like He was a criminal is the hardness that often characterizes yours and my heart. And listen, often, only often, because it could be that somebody this morning has already let God break your heart. And you're soft and tender and you want to serve God and you want to know Him. You know, it could be that you're lost this morning and you came in and you heard the first song and you decided today was the day you're getting saved. You know that happens. Did you know you can soften your heart anytime? Because you've been touched by God. He's drawing you to Himself and you know what your need is and you can decide anytime, you know what, today's the day. I'm going to get it settled. But if you haven't softened yourself to God, whether you're saved or lost. There's a hardness there. And it keeps us from being what He wants us to be. It keeps us from serving and from growing and from coming to Him and even hearing His voice, as we heard in Sunday school this morning. We don't hear Him because there's hardness there. The soldiers took His clothes. It says in verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took His garments, made four parts. They made four parts because there were four soldiers. This was a common thing. Even in Acts, when Paul was in prison, he was guarded by four quaternions of soldiers. So there was four groups of four that rotated 24/7, watching him on a shift, keeping an eye on him all of the time. By the way, it didn't do any good because God broke him out of prison. Hallelujah. But that's the idea, is there's four soldiers. And it was a custom, really, of the day that if you were a soldier involved with the crucifixion of a criminal, then it was part of your due, really, payment, is that you would get to take the clothes of the victim. The clothes, the garments, the possessions, the last final worldly possessions of whoever it was, and it would be part of your due. It would be part of your payment. Now, you'd say, well, what is the, that's not very much of a payment. Well, think about it in the time, and there was no department stores. I mean, you're not going to go to a chain department store and get clothing at a reduced rate like you are today. Hey, where's the sale rack? It didn't exist. Clothing were all handmade, and it was very expensive. So clothing, garments, was very expensive. And by the way, it doesn't mean that they took His coat and ripped it up. When they parted His garments, literally it means that they took the four different aspects of His clothing and made four different piles. So it would have been His sandals, it would have been His belt, it would have been His head covering, and it would have been His outer coat. And so this would have been the four different divisions. And sometimes, if you have two soldiers who wanted the same garment, they would, sort of gamble, and, they would decide who gets what garment that way. Or sometimes it was easy. They would just divide it and guys would pick what they wanted. Or maybe it was a ranking system. One soldier ranked higher and he got first pick. But that's the idea here, is Jesus' garments is being made and into different piles, and then the soldiers would take the pile that was due to them. But then there was a fifth garment. The fifth garment was the inner garment. It would have been the tunic. This would have been the garment that was worn close to the skin, the garment that was closest. The Bible says that it was woven without, it had no seams, it was woven throughout. And so the soldiers didn't want to tear it into four pieces. And so what they did with that garment is they gambled for it, and whichever soldier won in the gambling process, he would get to take that garment home. The hardness of their hearts is represented when they took His clothes, but make this note in your heart, in your mind. They took His clothes, but they needed His blood. They took His clothes, but they needed His blood. Now, I was studying this, and I'm thinking, Lord, what message do you have for us about the soldiers? And then it dawned on me that the soldiers took the clothes of Jesus. I mean, this was His last worldly possessions. And the implication there is he gave it all. I mean, this is the last thing He owned on earth, and they took it. Right? His last possession, they took it. Imagine you're gambling for the outer garment of Jesus. And so now you get His coat, His outer cloth, which would have been like a long robe worn over the tunic, which was next to the skin. And you're the soldier who won this garment, Jesus' coat. And now the next day you wake up and you're wearing Jesus' coat. I mean, you're wearing His garment. So you go throughout the day and you have the coat of Jesus on. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Kind of an amazing thought. Say you didn't win the coat, but you won the sandals. So you get up, and you're literally, watch this, you're literally walking in the shoes of Jesus. The imagery is incredible. But here's the point, is they wore His clothes, but they needed His blood. They wore his outer garments, but it did nothing for their heart. You see that? That's what people do today. That's how this works in our life. A lot of people putting the outer garments of Jesus on in life, but he ain't there. Did you hear that? You're wearing Jesus on the outside, but he's not on the inside. You know, there are a lot of people who are doing their very best to try to be a good enough person so that they can go to heaven. There's a lot of people that are living life and going through the motions and adding a little bit of Jesus into their life here and there. But all it is outer garments. You're walking in the sandals of Jesus, but he's not in your heart. You're putting on the outward display for everyone at church to see, but he's not in there. He's gone. He's not there. It's just all outward. It's all a show. You see the imagery here. And so like the disciples in the hardness that was there, that they were wearing Jesus, but he's not in the heart. That happens today. It happens today. And one day, listen, one day the masks, the garments, the Jesus coat, it's all coming off. You're not taking Jesus' coat to the grave, and your Jesus coat's not taking you to heaven. And one day every knee's going to bow like we heard the children sing and quote in the verses. One day the coats and the masks are all coming off. And what you really are is going to be on display then. I don't want to indict anyone, but I think this is clear to see. You know, it dawned on me, this is a hard reality as a pastor, that from time to time, there's a Judas. What do you mean? Well, who was Judas? He was a disciple of the Lord. He walked with Jesus. He saw all the miracles. He had the outer garments. But it wasn't there. And one day, here's what happened. Judas, who he really was, came out. And he betrayed Jesus. He betrayed what he knew in his heart was true and right. And after the betrayal, what Judas really was clear for everyone to see. Now, as a pastor, when I say from time to time there's a Judas, does that mean I know that there's a Judas in the room? No. How can I know? I can't see hearts this morning. I can't see if you're wearing a Jesus. You understand the analogy, right? You're wearing a Jesus coat. And you look good on the outside, but in your heart, it's kind of rotten bones, kind of a rotten spirit. There's sort of bitterness and anger, and it's sort of rotting in there, but you got the smile on, and you look good on the outside. I can't know. I can't know that. But here's what I think that you and I would agree about, is that from time to time, there is a Judas. And here's what God is trying to say. There's going to come a day. The mask is going to come off, and there's not anything you're going to be able to do about it. There's not anything you're going to be able to do to stop it. And so sometimes there's that outward show and a rottenness within, but sometimes it's an outward show, but it's an inward desire. It's not really a rottenness, but it's a desire. It's not a Judas thing, but it's like a I want this kind of thing. You know, it's sort of like Simon in the New Testament, or rather in Acts, whenever Simon wanted what the disciples had, but he didn't have it. He just had the outward thing. He wanted it, though. And sometimes that's us. Sometimes, Pastor, I want to do it, and I'm doing my very best. But down deep inside, here's what I think God wants you to get out of this. Is you can do your best, and you can wear the outward thing, but it's not good enough. It'll never be good enough. And one day all the coats will be gone, and all the outward things will be gone, and all the money you've given, it'll be gone. Everything will be burned up, it'll be gone. The only thing that is left is, where is your heart? Do you have Jesus in here? Because on the outside doesn't count if it's not in here. The disciples, rather these soldiers, they didn't have it in them. They only had it on the outside, meaning they were lost. And one day, perhaps, in the imagery here is one day like these soldiers who had the outer garments working, and they look like Jesus in that sense, those that are giving and faithful to church and serving, and maybe sometimes even in the choir, and sometimes working in junior church and doing a Sunday school class and working and all these things and all these outward works, and you're trying to make yourself saved and make yourself convinced, I'm going to make it to heaven. But down deep inside, it's all outward and nothing's happening inside. And one day, you know, you're going to stand before God and our knees are going to bow, and you're going to lift your hand, you're going to say, Dear Father, please let me into heaven. Lord, look what all that I've done. Let me into the gates. Let me come into your presence. I've done many wonderful works. I've cast out devils in this sense, dear Father, look at all the good things I've done to help people. I've given of myself. I've served. I've been involved. I've done all these outward works. I've done all of these things in your name, Jesus. I did these things in your name, in your covering. And Jesus is going to look and he's going to say, listen, but that's the problem. It's all been outward because it wasn't coming from a heart that was redeemed. And sad to say, that is going to happen someday. Jesus, in chapter 7 of Matthew, said it's going to happen. But the warning has been given to you because it hasn't happened yet, and you can get it right. Did you know the mask could come off before Jesus takes it off? The coats that are covering up the real you can come off so that you can get it right before it's too late. That can happen this morning. Did you know that's the grace of God? It's the grace of God. I'm so glad for the grace of God. Mercy. I'll be in trouble. My kids are getting big. Somebody said it to me the other day. Man, wow, I can't believe how big kids are getting. How big your kids are getting. I know. Like they're wearing my clothes without asking. That's my sweater. Oh, it's got mustard on it. You can keep it. That was my plan, you know. But they can't wear my shoes. Caleb can't wear my shoes. His foot's too big. His foot's bigger than mine. He's 13. He's not even 14 yet. His foot's bigger than mine. But that's okay. I don't want him to wear my shoes. If there's one thing that you should know about your pastor, I like shoes. That is a bad thing probably, but it's sort of embarrassing. I probably shouldn't have said that, but anyway. But they wear my clothes. You know, if my kids come out and they have my sweater on and my wind pants, does it make them dad? Are they dad now? I got dad's clothes on. I'm the dad. Well, they might say it, but it's not really true. And you know it's true, not true, because like this morning, Ethan was trying to get his brothers up. Ethan and I went and got donuts this morning. And he's like, guys, we got everybody else donuts too. That was nice of us. So he's yelling up to his brothers, guys, it's time to get up. Crickets. Ain't nobody moving because Ethan said something. He has zero authority with them. When I walked over to the steps, guys, get up, started stirring. Okay, they started moving a little bit. They're not going to have my authority because they wear my clothes. Well, that's the idea. You're not going to be saved because you have Jesus outward things going on. Does it make you saved? Tyler isn't here. Shucks. I'll say it anyway, but he gave us a bag of clothes, which is a huge blessing, because they're huge. My kids are big. You should see some of those shirts on my kids, though. It's funny. But he had one shirt. It's a basketball shirt, you know. And Tyler, I don't know if you know this, but he's a really good basketball player, okay? So we put Tyler's basketball shirt on. That means I'm good at basketball now, right? I wish. Does it work like that? The imagery here is they had his outward clothes on, but but it wasn't doing anything for their heart. If they wanted to be saved, they needed the grace of God to pour into them and break their heart. You can only be saved if you let God break your heart. Now, here's what's so neat about this, because I saw the image of these soldiers wearing the outer garments of Jesus, and I got really excited because I thought, man, what an image of people who try to wear Jesus on the outside, but he's not in there. Well, what's the answer? The answer has to be in this passage too. And here's what it was. The answer has always been there. You see, John here prophesied that this would happen. Or rather, John spoke of a prophecy that David prophesied of 1,000 years ago in Psalm 22. 1,000 years ago, it was prophesied that this was going to happen. You say, Pastor, are you sure about that? Yeah, keep your finger here. Go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Ready? Okay, we're going to look at verse number 1. Do these words look familiar? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus said that on the cross, didn't he? Jump down to verse 16. Look at the last phrase of verse 16. They have pierced my hands and my feet. So this is a prophecy of how Jesus would be on the cross 1,000 years before it happened. Look at verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Go back to John. The Bible here says that Jesus died with no clothes. He died with no clothes, no outer garments. All of his earthly possessions were taken from him. But here's the point. Is 1,000 years ago, it was prophesied, not just that this would happen, that God said, I'm going to do this for you. God said, listen, I'm going to give my all for you. And on the cross, Jesus gave his all for you and for me. The imagery here is of an outer garment. Remember, in Genesis chapter 2, when God warned Adam and Eve, he created man and said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, we know the story. Chapter 3 comes. And they eat of the fruit, and they then have sin, and their eyes are opened, but not like they thought. And because of their sins, now they have to be separated from God's presence. And so at the end of chapter 3, Adam and Eve are going to be cast out of the garden because they had to be cast out of the presence of God, which is the imagery of us not being able to be in heaven and not being able to go to heaven because of our sins. But before he cast them out of the garden, he gave them something. What did he give them? The Bible says that he gave them coats or coverings of animal skin, which means that an animal had to die. It's the first time death is mentioned in the Bible. An animal died to give a covering of animal skin to Adam and Eve before they left the garden. It was a promise from God. Who was it that killed these animals? It was God. The first one who killed in the Bible was God. And he killed these animals. And here's what he was saying. One day, you're going to be lost. And you're going to be in need. And you're going to be in your sins. And you're going to need a covering. You're going to need somebody to come, and I'm going to send somebody, and he's going to die for you, and he's going to offer you salvation. And in Jesus, there's a covering for our sins, a real covering, not an outward covering, but a covering of our sins. who touches our soul and makes us born again and alive. That's the grace of God. It was promised to us thousands of years ago. And it was fulfilled in Jesus when He went to the cross. The point is, you don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to die pretending. You don't have to live your life pretending. God can take those masks off even this morning, and perhaps He's trying to. He's perhaps touching you. He's saying, listen, you've got a lot of these outward things going. You've got a lot of things you're trying to do on the outside to work your way into a relationship with Me, but it's not doing you a bit of good. And He's trying to break through. He's trying to break that heart. He's trying to break through to you to convince you to see your need. And this morning, it could be that you're hearing from God. And here's what He's saying. You can be saved this morning. You can be redeemed. You can get rid of the phony, fake, false, outward things and get a true covering, which is the blood of Christ. It's precisely what we need. God offers it in Jesus. Victory is in Him. But it won't come to you if you don't have a broken heart. Salvation comes to the broken. It's never been outward only, never will be. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who are in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's poor in spirit mean? Broken. Beggar poor. I have nothing, God. I have nothing. I am nothing. I have nothing. Without You, I'm lost. Without You, I'm lost. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17 says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God, Thou wilt not despise. So this morning you can be saved if you'll give your heart to Him. This morning you can be saved. You can get right with God. You can. True repentance is giving your heart to Him, saying, God, whatever You want, I give You my all. Whatever You desire, I give it all to You, dear Father. God confronts those who are outward and nothing inward this morning. Can I say it again? God confronts those of us. I don't think this is an accident, do you? I mean, this is just the next message, right? I mean, so we're just going through John. Oh, you know, pastor's preaching this because of... No, this is the next one. And so it's somebody needed it today. Probably all of us, in some ways, needed this. And the idea there is that we this morning are being confronted by God. Get that just outward stuff out of the way and get it in. Get it right. Get the real deal. You know what I mean? When I was in college, I was about 30 pounds lighter than I am now. I mean, probably a lot of us could say stuff like that, right? Yeah, when I was in college, I had more hair. Yeah, I didn't see me too. So, okay, so we, you know, that was it. And I played basketball a lot, very athletic, so I had, you know, I was in better shape. And I can brag about it, right? Because it was a long time ago. I also had a really short haircut. Like skin down below right here. So it was just sort of like a crew cut, but not a flat top. There was a little bit to comb over on top, but it was just bald around here. I liked it. I mean, I wasn't trying to win any popularity contest. But I went to the grocery store one time, and I was fit, and my hair looked like that. So this lady thought I was in the army. You know, I just had the haircut and whatever. And I'm checking out. She goes, are you in the army? And I thought, no, I'm not in the army, but I am in the army. It was so corny. I said it too. I really said this. I said, I'm in the Lord's army. Like, oh, okay. It's a good soul winning tip, you know. Here's why I said that. I wasn't in the army. but I look like I was. And sometimes people look like they're in God's army, but they're not. And this morning, it could be that this morning, that's you. When you've done all the outward things, and listen, who you're trying to fool isn't the people in here. And you can fool us, but you're not going to fool God. And one day the mask is going to come off. And the only, and you say, well, I don't want that anymore, Pastor. Well, how do I get it settled? There's only one way. You have to let your heart be broken. You have to break, man. Nobody can be saved if your heart doesn't break. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let God break your heart. Say, I don't want just the outward stuff anymore. I want it in here. Turn your heart to Him. That's my encouragement this morning. I believe that's the challenge. Father, we need you today. And it could be that somebody this morning needed this. And I don't know who does or doesn't need this. But I pray that perhaps today would be the day of salvation. Or maybe for somebody who's just pretended in other ways. They just sort of have an outward thing going when they're at church, but then something else when they're not here. God, you know those things too, and we all have a struggle with that sometimes. Help us to be confronted with that sin, and to turn our hearts back to you. Thank you for your grace, that in you is salvation and freedom, and that you, before the foundation of the earth, offered grace and salvation to all who have this need. Help us to turn our hearts to you in Jesus' name.